Radio Malassia.
Well, Costello, I'm going to New York with you. You know, Bucky Harris, the Yanks manager, gave me a job as coach for as long as you're on the team.
Look, Abbott, if you're the coach, you must know all the players.
I certainly do.
Well, you know, I never met the guys, so you'll have to tell me their names, and then I'll know who's playing on the team.
Oh, I'll tell you their names, but you know, strange as it may seem, they give these ballplayers nowadays very peculiar names.
You mean funny names?
Strange names, pet names, like Dizzy Dean and...
His brother Daffy.
Daffy Dean.
I'm their French cousin.
French?
Gouffet.
Gouffet Dean, oh, I see. Well, let's see, we have on the bags, we have who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
That's what I want to find out.
I say, who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
Are you the manager?
Yes.
You're going to be the coach, too?
Yes.
And you know the fellow's name?
Well, I should.
Well, then who's on first?
Yes.
I mean the fellow's name.
Who?
The guy on first.
Who?
The first baseman.
Who?
The guy playing
who
first.
Who is on first?
I'm asking you who's on first.
That's the man's name.
That's whose name?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
That's it.
That's who?
Yes.
Look, you got a first baseman?
Certainly.
Who's playing first?
That's right.
When you pay off the first baseman every month, who gets the money?
Every dollar of it.
All I'm trying to find out is the fellow's name on first base.
Who?
The guy that gets the
That's
money.
That's it.
Who gets the money on
he
first?
He does, every dollar. Sometimes his wife comes down and collects it.
Whose wife?
Yes. What's wrong with that?
Look, all I want to know is when you sign up the first baseman, how does he sign his name to the
who?
Contract? The guy.
Who?
How does he sign his
That's
name?
That's how he signs it.
Who?
Yes.
All I'm trying to find out is what's the guy's name on first base?
No, what is on second base?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
One base at a time.
Well, don't change the players.
I'm not changing nobody.
Take it easy, buddy.
I'm only asking you, who's the guy on first base?
That's right.
Okay.
All right.
Guy's name on first
base. No, what is on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know.
Oh, he's on third. We're not talking about him.
Now, how did I get on third base?
Why, you mentioned his name.
If I mention a third baseman's name, who did I say is playing third?
No, who's playing first?
What's on first?
What's on second?
I don't know.
He's on third.
There I go, back on third again. Will you stay on third base and don't go off it?
All right, what do you want to know?
Now, who's playing third base?
Why do you insist on putting who on third base?
What am I putting on third?
What is on second?
You don't want who on second?
Who is on first?
I don't know. Third base? You got outfield?
Sure.
The left fielder's name.
Why?
I just thought I'd ask.
Well, I just thought I'd tell you.
Then tell me who's playing left field.
Who is playing first?
I'm not. Stay out of the infield. I want to know what's the guy's name in left field.
No, what is on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know. Third base. And the left fielder's name?
Why?
Because.
Oh, he's center field.
He's center field. Look, you got a pitcher on the team.
Sure.
The pitcher's name.
Tamara.
You don't want to tell me today?
I'm telling you,
then
man.
Go ahead.
Tamara.
What time?
What time what?
What time tomorrow you going to tell me who's pitching?
Now listen, who is not pitching?
I'll
who
break is... your arm, you say, who's on first. I want to know what's the pitcher's name.
What's on second?
I don't know.
Third base.
Got a catcher?
Certainly.
The catcher's name.
Today.
Today. And tomorrow's pitching.
Now you've got it.
All we got is a couple of days on the team. You know, I'm a catcher, too.
So they tell me.
I get behind the plate, do some fancy catching. Tomorrow's pitching on my team, and a heavy hitter gets up.
Yes.
Now, the heavy hitter bunts the ball. When he bunts the ball, me being a good catcher, I want to throw the guy out of first base, so I pick up the ball and throw it to who?
Now, that's the first thing you've said right.
I don't even know what I'm talking about.
Well, that's all you have to do.
Just to throw the ball to first base.
Yes.
Now, who's got it?
Naturally.
I throw the ball to first base, somebody's got to get it. Now, who has it?
Naturally.
Who?
Naturally.
Naturally?
Naturally.
So I pick up the ball and I throw it to naturally.
No, you don't. You throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
That's different.
That's what I say.
You're not saying that.
I throw the ball to naturally.
You throw it to who?
Naturally.
That's it.
That's what I said.
Listen, you ask me.
I throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
Now, you ask me.
You throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
That's it.
Same as you.
Don't change them around.
Same as you.
Go ahead. Now, get it over.
I throw the ball to who? Whoever it is drops the ball and the guy runs a second.
Yes.
Who picks up the ball and throws it to what? What throws it to? I don't know. I don't know. Throws it back to tomorrow. Triple play.
Yes.
Another guy gets up and it's a long fly ball to because. Why? I don't know. He's on third and I don't give a darn.
What?
I said I don't give a darn.
Oh, that's our shortstop.
I mean, come on.
Well, then if you ain't my pa, I want my $200.
Okay.
I want my $200. I heard you through the door talking to that man. It's my money you got, and I want it.
Now, you just hold on a second.
I want my money. You took my $200.
Will you quiet down? You hear?
I want my $200.
Hold on. Just hold on.
Thank you.
party. But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me. Yes, it's only a canvas sky hanging over a cotton tree. But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me. Without your love, it's a honky-tonk parade. Without your love, it's a melody played in a penny arcade. It's a Barnum and Bailey world, just as hollow as it can be. But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me.
Now we can veer down to Lucas, and we'll veer over to Wilson, veer off to Lorraine and Bushton.
And we could veer off to Hoytington.
Just have to keep on veering, that's all.
Strange adventure. Jose de la Vega Cassidy and his companion Juan Garcia halted their horses near the foot of Wild Horse Mesa and gazed upward at the beautiful black stallion silhouetted against the desert sky. This majestic sentinel of the wild returned the gaze of the admiring horseman.
Jose, that is the one the people call El Diablo. Can we try to catch him now?
No, Juan, no. We must study El Diablo, learn his ways and his weaknesses.
So the two men made several trips to the domain of the wild horses. At last, they discovered El Diablo's weakness. He lived up to his name of the Devil with the Ladies. Every time the black stallion went to a waterhole, he was followed by the most beautiful mares of the herd. Jose and Juan built and camouflaged a strong fence around the waterhole that lay near one end of a box canyon. When all was ready, the men managed to cut two of the mares from the wild herd and drove them into the snare. An hour passed, and the nervous mares whinnied and snorted. At last, El Diablo heard them and plunged down the trail to their rescue. Jose and Juan dashed from their hiding place, and El Diablo was trapped. The stallion was roped and led between the mounts of the two men, fighting, balking, and trying to rear up and break away. A week later, the Black Beauty had succumbed somewhat to the gentle and patient ways of Jose de la Vega Cassidy. It was now time for him to be turned into the breaking corral. El Diablo ran gracefully around the pen as Jose and Juan watched.
Jose, he is almost gentle already. Tomorrow we will put the saddle on him. He's a very fine horse.
But the next morning, the friends met with disappointment. El Diablo had jumped the fence and disappeared. A faint smile spread over the face of Jose.
Well, at least he's happy again, Juan. He's back again with his family.
One day, Jose was riding alone and had just rounded a turn in the desert road when El Diablo and his mares came into sight some distance ahead. So intent was he in admiring the flowing motion of the wild horse that he didn't see the mountain lion crouched upon the rocky ledge above him. He heard a slight sound and looked up just as the huge, tawny beast sprang. His frightened horse bolted, but too late. The giant cat's body struck Jose, knocking him from the saddle, stunned. Juan Garcia finally found Jose de la Vega Cassidy the next morning, limping toward the ranch house, clinging to the long ebon mane of the black stallion.
Jose, for the love of your father, Jose, what happened? And why you catch El Diablo again?
Juan, if you go back there on the desert, you will find a dead mountain lion. El Diablo killed it and saved my life. Now he's helping me home. He's not only a ladies' man. He's a man's man now.
This is Pat McGeehan in Hollywood, California, saying goodbye from my writer, Charles Crowder, and inviting you to listen to Last of the Pioneers, our next tale of strange adventure.
Just one more chance to prove it's you alone I care for. Each night I say a little prayer for just one more chance, just one more night to taste the kisses that enchant me. I'd want no others if you'd grant me just one more chance. I've learned the meaning of repentance. Now you're the jury at my trial. I know that I should serve my sentence. Still I'm hoping all the while you'll give me just one more word. I said that I was glad to start out, but now I'm back to cry my heart out for just one more chance. We spend our lives in groping for happiness. I found it once and tossed it aside. I've paid for it with hours of loneliness. I've nothing to hide. I'd bury my pride for you. Still I'm hoping all the while you'll give me just one more word. I said that I was glad to start out, but now I'm back to cry my heart out for just one more chance.
You're listening to Radio Molossia.
Truth is stranger than fiction. And this is the proof. This is Ripley's. Believe it or not.
Laborers in China who use huge wheelbarrows to transport freight avoid extra wear on their vehicles by taking them apart at the end of each working day and carrying the parts home on their backs. Believe it or not. In a moment, I'll tell you about the strangest library in all history.
Are you bored? Are you looking for entertainment? Then swing by the Bijou Theater for the latest newsreels and Molossian movies.
Saheb Ibn Abad, the scholarly Grand Vizier of Persia, was a fervent reader and had a library of 117,000 volumes. Since he was obliged to travel widely, he carried the library around with him on the backs of 400 camels. The beasts of burden of this huge portable collection were specially trained to travel in alphabetical order and were attended by a host of camel driver librarians who could locate any book their master desired in the shortest time, believe it or not.
Standing around here checking on me. You don't have to worry. I ain't about to leave some poor little child stranded in the middle of nowhere. I got scruples too, you know. You know what that is, scruples?
No, I don't know what it is, but if you got them, you sure bet they belong to somebody else.
Radio Molossia.